Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Game Summer! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Okay, it is a good evening to you and I. You'd be 8:04 and 50 seconds to go right along with it on a Friday evening on The Fan. New York City, Steve Summers here, you there. Peter Hoffman, Paulie Rosenberg, and on the other side of the glass, 1-877-337-6666. And that'll be the number for another two-hour Friday schmooze right up until one of John Harper's colleagues at SNY, Sal Licata, here on The Fan at 10 o'clock. And yes, we welcome John Harper. Let me get in, of course, with SNY. We see him all the time with the boys and the girls as well with the SNY. And his Twitter handle, at NYNJHarper. And John, how you doing?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
We're doing okay, even better because you're giving us a couple of minutes. We'll take you. We know you're on a little bit of a schedule, so we'll try to get as much in with you as we can. First of all, can you remember ever in your lifetime that we have, once this baseball season has started, we have gone two consecutive Fridays without a New York baseball team playing baseball?
No, it's definitely weird. A quirk of the schedule, because they do always leave that, as you know, that second day open after the opener, and just in case of rain.
Sure.
And it just happened to fall on Thursdays this year, but it is weird not to have Friday night baseball. You feel like once the season gets going, you always have that the Friday night and the weekend. So a little strange, but not a good night for baseball in New York. So anyway, might have worked out for the best.
Yeah, you're right. It's like 39, 40 degrees with the rain, the drizzle, the wetness. And the Yankees, what is the reason, as far as you know, that the Yankees, I know in April and in May, and maybe a few times after, I'm not so sure, but I know April and May, that some of their games are now starting at 6:30 instead of, say, 7:05, 7:10.
Yeah, I was told that it's mostly because the cold weather, and they just feel like they're trying to make it more comfortable for the fans, just get started a little bit earlier and get out of there a little bit earlier before it gets too cold, because April can be really cold, and the games now these days, as you know, I mean, they go 3 hours plus almost all the time. So that seems to be what's the reasoning behind it.
And speaking of cold and wet and rainy, how about last Sunday? Were you surprised that rain delay with the Yankee game last Sunday at the stadium was 3 hours and 17 minutes long? Do you think they should have called it?
Yeah, I did. I was, because you almost never see it with a division rival that early in the season go that long, because, the teams are going to be back in a couple more times when the weather presumably will be better. So usually they make a decision earlier than that. I guess they must have been kept thinking that it was going to clear. But that's an awful long time to wait. That was one of those days when I was just glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, and diehard fans, some did. Not a lot. I mean, listen, I think there were some people that had their own section, their own vendor.
Not a good day to be there. But you could, a good day to get foul balls. So I guess you know the bright side.
And isn't there some guy, and we were alluding to him, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, some guy who makes a living collecting home run balls. And he's collected like over about 600 of them. I don't remember his name, and maybe that's
okay. I know who you mean. Yeah. I don't remember it either.
Right. And this week, and before we get off with the scheduling, this week we've had games beginning at 4, again with the 6:30, but 4, 3 o'clock. And we understand the other night when the Mets were in Miami that Mattingly pushed the game back to 6:30, or a little after 6 as it was, originally scheduled for 7, back to 6, to give the Mets a chance to get out of Miami before and get home back here in New York. so that they could get a little bit of rest before their home opener on Thursday at 1 o'clock. But then again, we had the issue with Dominic Smith, who couldn't go to the bathroom.
I was there yesterday when he was explaining it rather sheepishly. You can understand, these guys are kind of dehydrated after a game, you know, and he couldn't perform for the drug testers. Yeah, that complicated matters. I'm not sure it's Mattingly's call. I think it goes above his pay grade. But you know what? MLB needs to step in there and say, hey, they got their home opener the next day at 1 o'clock. You know, the Marlins draw 8,000 fans anyway.
Right.
Start your game. Have an afternoon game so these guys can get home. It just, I talked to people over there, and they say they're gonna try and do this more often because it happens too many times during the year as it is. But especially for a home opener.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Mets could have pushed their game back to 4, mm-hmm. but tradition is 1 o'clock for the opener. Right. I think MLB needs to step in and tell the Marlins, hey, play the game in the afternoon.
And don't we go through, and we're talking, of course, with John Harper, formerly of the Daily News, a terrific baseball writer who covers every base, that's for sure, and now with the SNY, and you know from his Twitter handle, which is at NYNJHarper. Don't we go through every single year something with the scheduling? Have you ever been able to make any rhyme or reasoning out of how the schedules are put out?
No. Every time you ask, you get that's complicated. You know, it's complicated, but it's not that complicated where you, I think somebody pointed out, I think it was the Astros and the Rays. So you got two dome teams playing each other to start the year instead of both of them making sure they're home. So, and you can just do it. There's ways to do it where you can alleviate some of the weather problems. You know you're going to have weather problems along the way, but there are better ways to do it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right, let me ask you, because somebody brought this up with me, and I said 15 or 20 or so minutes ago that I would bring it up with you. Dallas Keuchel, first of all, number one, are you surprised he's without a job? And number two, do you see either of the New York baseball teams kicking the tires?
I'm surprised only because he's still a quality pitcher, although there are definitely questions about his health. He went through some things the last few years, and they were presented as more neck problems than anything else. But, the word around baseball is that, you know, it's as much shoulder as neck. And you've seen his stuff be diminished. And he's a guy that can't, you know, he's not a power guy anyway.
Right.
But when he's down to, when he's throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs, he's got to be more precise than ever. And he doesn't have quite that same late movement on his changeup and his two-seamer. So, but at the same time, you know, Boris's agent and him, they started out asking for big money. 5-year deals of big money.
Right.
And teams are like, no, that's the Keuchel from 3 years ago that won the Cy Young. It's not the Keuchel we saw last year. It's not the Keuchel we project forward. So it's just like Gio Gonzalez. His stuff had fallen off. Until these guys kind of come to grips with the fact that they're not going to get that big money just based on what they've done in the past, these teams now are not going to pay for that. So especially with Boris, you know how headstrong he can be with these things. So not surprised. And I know that the Mets are continuing to at least stay engaged because – they basically let them know, look, if you do come down, if your price comes down and you're willing to take, you know, a short-term deal, then we want to be in on it. So I think Mets more than the Yankees at this point that could be a possibility.
Well, and the Yankees, and correct me if I'm wrong, if Gio Gonzalez doesn't get into the starting rotation by April 20th, he can become a free agent again.
He can, yeah. He has an opt-out that the only time I saw him was he made that late spring training appearance. He didn't look good. He didn't look crisp anyway. Mm-hmm. His fastball was 89. And he's a guy that, you know, he's thrown 94 with the big curveball. Pretty good. Changeup is now, the scouts saying, is his best pitch. So I think they want to see what he can do with a couple of starts at AAA before they make a decision whether to bring him up. You know, they like some of their young arms, that Loaisiga and Herman, those guys, and Sessa. Cashman has basically said publicly that he'd rather go with those guys, but I think they felt like for the price, you know, they got Gonzalez pretty cheap, and it's not even $3 million is not even guaranteed if he's not on the roster. Why not take a flyer and see what you get out of him?
What about Kimbrel? He's still without a job also.
Yeah, that's more of a kind of a shocker to me that he would price himself out of the market the way he did, starting out asking 6 years, $100 million, some crazy numbers you heard. Obviously, he hasn't come down to where a team would be willing to take him. But he's probably a guy that is maybe now sitting there thinking, all I need is one injury to a closer on a contender, and some team will come after me. Although the Brewers did talk to him when they lost their guy, and he was still too expensive for their taste. So I do think you'll see him, though, before you see Keuchel, because I think somebody probably will lose a closer fairly, you know, at some point, and it won't take as long to get a closer ready as it will to get a starter ready.
Mm-hmm. With the New York Metropolitans, Callaway, how would you rate his handling of the bullpen?
Yeah, it's been dicey for sure. Some strange decisions. You know, it seems like he's gone too long with guys like Lugo and Avalon the other night. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of these guys, I'm not sure Lugo, but a guy like Avalon, these guys are trained to get three outs, and, you know, he's not a guy with overpowering stuff or anything. You get three outs from him, usually, you know, you want to get him out of the game. I know they were leading 6-0 at the time. But you go to the second inning, he gets banged around, and Gazelman has been disappointing. I think it's some of it has – these guys haven't performed as well as you'd expect, Gazelman mm-hmm. and Lugo especially. Mm-hmm. But Callaway does seem to get himself in these situations where, you know, you could – somehow you want to try and avoid using Diaz and saving his as many bullets as you can. Mm-hmm. And you can blame some of it on the pitchers. I think some of it for Callaway for not being a little more proactive to try and make sure you could keep Diaz out of the game.
If you were managing and you had somebody warming up, would that mean that you absolutely have to put him into the game?
Absolutely. I know he said that one time he used Diaz with a 4-run lead.
Right.
Yet you don't like to do that too much with guys because they do. Once you get him heated up, that is kind of the rule of thumb that you want to get him in the game. But at the same time, he's not in that high leverage, high intensity situation where he's throwing 30 pitches, which I think he ended up throwing close to 30 that one time when he came in mm-hmm. the 4-run lead. So I think in some cases, you know, I think it's you're still better off warming him up and sitting him down and saving him if you got a heavy schedule ahead of you where you think you're going to need him rather than just bringing him in the game because he was up.
How surprising was it watching the Yankees this week, until yesterday, of course, sort of like a Con Edison losing power? How do you go about explaining what was so lifeless with all of their offense for what seemed like an eternity, especially for the Yankee fan, that's for sure?
Yeah, it was strange. I think it was a combination of the injuries, and then I think some of these guys kind of take it upon themselves. Look, we know they're kind of an all-or-nothing offense anyway, relying so heavily on the home run. So you're going to have stretches where you don't hit a lot. But I think I saw guys trying to – I was watching – I mean, Gleyber Torres had a big day yesterday, but before mm-hmm. that, he had been kind of swinging out of his shoes, which is not what you want from a guy necessarily like that. He's a really good hitter, just needs to put the ball in play. I think guys were taking it upon themselves to try and do too much in the absence of some of these other guys. And I think that kind of thing can snowball on a team. And then they're feeling pressure because they know they're supposed to be beating the Orioles and the Tigers. I think a lot of that stuff just kind of does snowball on a team sometimes, and you saw it with the Yankees.
If you had to give us a number of reasons regarding so many injuries, not just the 11 as we speak on the IL with the Yankees, but injuries to begin with, what would be your number one thought, number one reason for the injuries that we see in Major League Baseball in this day and age where managers and teams so coddle not only pitchers, but expensive ball players, position players? What would be your reason or reasons for so many injuries that we see?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot now, and I really do think, I don't want to sound too old schoolish, but I do think the conditioning and the weight training has gotten to the point where these guys push their bodies so hard mm-hmm. to be at peak condition, but you're also, you're kind of maxing out in terms of the force you're putting on tendons and muscles, and at least that's what I've been told mm-hmm. when I asked fitness and strength type people about this, that they do, you're getting players to play at a higher level than they ever have in the past. When you look at the you know, the overall players in baseball. But at the same time, to get that level, you are pushing the body harder and harder, and it's going to break down. And that's not something they did years and years ago. Maybe, and I think they, you know, I also think they played through a lot of injuries years and years ago because teams weren't paying these guys a lot and they weren't worried about them breaking down so much. Right, so right. I think it's a combination of all that stuff. But it does, so there's a price, I think there's a price to be paid for all the training they do and playing at the level they do play.
Real quick before I let you go, and again, a million thanks for giving us a couple of minutes of your time on this Friday night. Tulowitzki, you think we're going to see him again?
You know, I would not be shocked if we didn't. Calf strains can take a long time. I know from personal experience and just knowing, seeing it from even Jeter, remember, who almost got hurt. That's the calf strain is what kept him out for, had to be 6 weeks minimum back in the year he ended up, I think, getting the 3,000th hit. They can be tricky, and Tulowitzki has had all kinds of lower leg injuries. And, you know, it's funny because Cashman made the point that he had the double heel surgery, and they thought that was going to take care of a lot of his injury problems because they thought it was all about his base and all that. But he's just a guy in his 30s now who has an injury history, so you had to expect it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not back by, say, June, and now we'll see. I mean, it depends. I think a lot depends on Gregorius, but it's possible that he's not ready until we see Gregorius, so we may never see Tulowitzki again.
Yeah, and knowing how you write and knowing what you know, are you going to write a book soon?
Well, I need an offer, Steve, so if you give me the offer, I'll be all set to do it. Hey, listen, there's a lot of good books out there this year that baseball fans should be enjoying, I'll say that.
Yeah, there is, and a few on the 69 Mets. We'll talk about that and them and the Yankees and everything else.
Absolutely.
Next time we have you on. We'll see you on SNY, and thanks for being heard tonight on The Fan.
Okay, great. Thanks, Steve.
You got it. John Harper of SNY.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.